The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, human. I'm Greg Wagner, a human member. On behalf of Reverend Dave Dunn, our speaker today, David Krober, Director of Religious Exploration, Lexi T. Brown, Music Director, Alex Peach, my fellow worship associates, and the dedicated technical team that is making today's live stream possible, I would like to welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call human. We are a liberal faith community with a mission to nurture our spirit, strive for justice, and transform the world. No matter who you are, who you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. If there are any of you visiting for the first time and feel comfortable doing so, please rise as you're able and as well as identify and introduce yourself so we can worship with one another as friends. Are there any first-time visitors on my left? Welcome. Quite a day. It's New Year's Eve, man. Heck yeah. On my right? Cool. Also, if you're visiting us for the first time, feel free to scan the QR code on the back of your printed order of worship. I lost my place. Or the code located at the greeter's table to get in touch. We have a few adult enrichment offerings this morning. Please refer to your order of service for the class locations. All ages are welcome in service. There is a fidget shelf available at the back of the sanctuary. I don't see anybody using it today, but if they need to, please go ahead. There are no children or youth religious explorations classes today. The schedule for the next several weeks is in your printed order of worship.
So good morning, human. Our call to worship today is a poem by Lupita I.D. Tucker. It's called Año Viejo. In Guayaquil, in December, the old year is a dying man, face painted on a papier-mâché head, dressed in yesterday's clothes, stuffed with newsprint emblazoned with headlines from the past year. His widows, we cry for him on the corners, taking up a collection for the funeral. We spend it on fireworks to stuff down his shirt so he burns bright when we light him on fire minutes before midnight. But first, his last will and testament is read, bequeathing blessings for the year ahead. His final countdown explodes in the middle of every street, and the city is a battlefield ablaze. The new year brought forth through the haze. Our eyes full of smoke, we raise a champagne toast. We embrace the silence and watch our old man burn. And now let us light our chalice together.
We light this chalice on the brink of a new year, letting go of what has been, open and hopeful for what may come, renewed, restored, ready to live life fully anew. May we move forward with intention.
So once a year, every year, at 11:59 p.m. and 48 seconds, my family eats grapes. 12, exactly. The Gamaño family tradition on New Year's Eve is to eat 12 grapes, starting at the 12 seconds counting down to midnight. These 12 grapes correspond with a wish you have for each month of the new year, and finishing them when the clock strikes midnight means your wishes will come true. 12 grapes, 12 wishes, and 12 seconds. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a lot of grapes in very little time. As I have chipmunk-cheeked my way into 28 years of life, I never thought about the history of the tradition. I took it as a given and as a Gamaño family tradition. After doing some research, meaning I surveyed several Latinx people on Instagram, I found that almost all Latinx families keep this grape tradition. There are variations on when to start throwing them back, but the meaning of the grapes is generally the same. According to the internet, the actual tradition stems from Spain sometime between 1880 and 1910. It either started with an excess of grape production one season or farmers mocking the aristocracy for eating grapes. Either way, even scholars can't pinpoint the exact origin of this practice. There are other rituals I came across when talking to my friends, extended family, and coworkers about the supermarket fruit I'm sure is sold out at the Walmart up the street. A few people swore that sitting under the table at the stroke of midnight or wearing red underwear would will the universe into finding you a partner. Exactly how your fated partner would find you hiding under the table in red underwear is none of my concern. Similarly, wearing yellow underwear would bring you prosperity or wealth, and running around outside with suitcases right after midnight would promise travel plans in the new year. Again, there are minor variations on these superstitions across the board, but the intent and enthusiasm to race against time remain the same. Regardless of superstitions, rituals, and traditions with little historical evidence, the unifying sentiments are of anticipation and hope. So I hope that you all have a wonderful new year, and I anticipate seeing you all again soon. And if you do consider incorporating the grape tradition, I don't recommend the grapes with seeds. They're the worst to get down. Thank you and Happy New Year.
Okay, well, in case y'all didn't know, today is the last day of 2023. It's time to say goodbye to the old year, to turn the page, close another chapter of our lives, and welcome the coming of a new year. So New Year's Eve and New Year's Day are these markers, they're milestones. It's a time for reflection and remembering, for celebrations, for resolutions. It's when many businesses begin a new fiscal year and close the books on the old one. And we do the same on a personal level, whether that's financial or other matters. It's a season of school vacations, of bowl games and playoffs, and best of the year lists. Critics and pundits highlight the major events of the past year and make predictions for the year ahead. It's also kind of an arbitrary date. What makes this particular day in early winter the first day of our calendar, the transition point as we measure years? It's not anything particularly special from an astronomical perspective. It's not an equinox or a solstice. Although due to the slightly elliptical orbit of the Earth, the perihelion, which is our closest point to the sun, does occur sometime between January 2nd and 5th. I think it's going to be on January 3rd this year. Different cultures and religions mark the beginning of a new year on different dates. For example, Judaism uses a lunar calendar and celebrates the new year in the fall on Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the month of Tishri, which is the seventh month of the Jewish civil year. This date usually occurs in late September or early October. Chinese New Year is based on a lunisolar calendar dating back to the 14th century BCE and also falls on different dates each year. In 2024, the year of the dragon will begin on February 10th. The Greeks celebrated the new year on the winter solstice, and the French Republican calendar, which was implemented during the French Revolution and used for about 12 years from 1793 to 1805, started its year on the September equinox. So why January 1st? Well, we can thank the Romans for that. It stems from an ancient Roman custom, the feast of the Roman god Janus. He was the god of beginnings, gates, transitions, time, duality, doorways, passages, frames, and endings. It's also where the name for the month of January comes from, since Janus was depicted as having two opposite faces. One looked back into the past, and the other peered forward to the future. To celebrate the new year, the Romans made promises to Janus, and our tradition of making New Year's resolutions stems from this ancient custom. On January 1st, as the year began, it was customary to exchange cheerful words of good wishes. So most of us have traditions or rituals that we observe for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. They may be family traditions, cultural customs, or personal quirks, but they are important markers as we move through our lives. And you heard from Valeria as she shared a few from her family. One of mine is I like to do a personal annual review. I carve out some quiet time to reflect on the year just passed, reading through my journal and my calendar to prompt my memory. There are the good things. Those are easy and fun to recall. They're successes, accomplishments, adventures, learning something new, births, marriages, new jobs, new relationships. And then there are the hard things, failures, losses, challenges, burdens, deaths. There may be a lot of pain or grief, regret or remorse associated with them, but they happened, and I try to be grateful for both the good and the bad. Because the third part of the review is looking to the year ahead. My hopes, my goals, my plans, my resolutions, new habits to build, old habits to break. What happened the year before shapes these, the lessons learned, the opportunities presented. It's a time to recalibrate, to prepare, to cultivate the mindset I want to have in the coming year. Many cultural traditions and rituals evolve to support this kind of reflection and preparation. I still eat black-eyed peas on New Year's Day, not because I think it's going to bring me luck or money, but because it's just a Southern thing, right? Watching the Times Square, the ball drop in Times Square in New York, or the Big Peach here in Atlanta, drop on TV, kissing someone special, singing Auld Lang Syne, cleaning your house, or leaving the windows open, all of these really have their roots in representing this transition from the old year to the new. One such tradition that I want to talk about today is Años Viejos. In many parts of Spanish-speaking Americas, people are so eager to leave the old year behind that they set it ablaze. In the final days of December, they build life-sized effigies, muñecos, out of flammable materials such as paper, straw, and sawdust, and dress them in real clothes. For good measure, they may also blend in some gunpowder or fill the effigies with fireworks. These figurines stand for the old year and everything bad that it might have brought. Many of them represent politicians or famous villains, such as the biblical Judas. Others are more personal, depicting a personal foe or an abuser. And some pay tribute to individuals who perished during the previous year. On New Year's Eve, people take their effigies to the streets. When the clock strikes midnight, they soak them in gasoline and carefully ignite them before running away. From a safe distance, they watch them explode and burn to the ground in a symbolic attempt to exorcise bad memories and welcome new beginnings. One recent example, at the end of 2020, one of the most popular effigies was the COVID-19 coronavirus. The ceremonial scorching of these prickly-headed, mean-faced, anthropomorphic effigies became a symbolic expression of the collective desire to turn a new page, leaving the COVID-19 pandemic behind. So what do you need to or want to let go of, leave behind from 2023? We're going to do our own Años Viejos activity this morning. But since building effigies might take a little more time than we've got, we're going to use index cards. So our greeters should have handed you an index card and something to write with as you entered the sanctuary. If you didn't get one, please raise your hand and the ushers can hand them out. Anybody not get one? Good. So what I'd like you to do is write a brief farewell note to 2023. Something or some things from this past year that you're leaving behind. You can also use this to capture a hope or a dream for the coming year. I'm going to give you a few moments to reflect and scribble these down, and then the ushers will collect them in baskets, and Greg is going to take them out, and we're going to burn them in the fire pit outside. I was going to do it in here, but I was afraid we'd set off the sprinklers, and we just got this new floor in, right? So some ideas, some prompts here. You can write, you know, I am leaving behind blank. I honor something. Good riddance to on the blank. Something you want to leave behind. Or you can write some things for the coming year. I hope for blank. I need blank. I welcome.
Not going to burn this one. And now, we extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
So our benediction today is a poem by Aaron Stockwell called In This New Year. In this new year, let us be amazed. Let us search for new life and hope in our midst. Let us nurture creativity in every form. Let us be reminded that the new insights of the universe are always being made. In this new year, let us be amazed. Go in peace, and may you have a safe and joyous New Year's Eve.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.